All right. Well, greetings, everyone. Welcome back to the Shakedown. This is your first time jumping in with us. Welcome to the show. It's a podcast about corrections, for corrections, and by corrections. We've got some phenomenal material prior to this episode. So if you're just getting started, you might want to pause here, back up, and catch some more. This is the second one in which we're conversing with Mr. Sean Stewart. And I thought about this a few minutes ago. You have a person of Irish heritage and a person of Scottish heritage sitting alongside of each other, getting along. We're doing international business right here on this podcast. But anyway, that no extra charge for that. Anyway, we've been talking about surviving the mental chess game. And we talked last time about contraband, how it starts real simple. And often how that little simple thing is not the point. It's seeing what are you willing to accept? What are you willing to go along with to see if, can they build this a little further? And, you know, you think about it, most of our society operates with a capitalist, if you will, give and take mindset. If I want something, well, whether it's, you know, something at the fast food place or something at the store, whatever the case may be, if I want something, I'm going to have to give something to trade for it. Obviously, currency in most cases. But the point being, inmates want things. They want some extra things, and they're willing to trade for them. They're willing to do business, if you will, with us. And some of that's fine. I mean, we reward inmates for good behavior. You know, you have inmates that want to earn good time. They want to serve as an inmate worker in our facilities. They want to do a work detail to get out of the housing unit for a while and do something. And so they exhibit good behavior, if you will, to barter for the opportunity to participate in that. And that's fine. That's great. But some of the trading, if you will, they want to offer isn't fine. They're willing to, you know, you talked about last time, this inmate's giving me trouble. This other inmate comes up and runs him off. Well, he just did me a favor. In his mind, I owe him. We just created a situation in which.
It's even in your mind, you owe him.
True. Yeah.
The inmate had this planned all along, but in your mind,
right,
I owe him.
Right.
He helped me out.
Yes.
And that's the seed that the inmate's trying to plant.
Yes.
He wants you to believe you owe him.
Right. Right. And the swapping favors, you know, I know that when I was working as a line officer, we had an inmate that was in our facility. He was a federal inmate. And let's just say that what he was in jail for, he had more than earned. He was a very violent individual, and he was known for being very violent. And we had an inmate in that was put in his housing unit who was just a pain in the neck. I mean, run his mouth, stir up trouble, keeping everybody wound up all the time. And it was just always a problem. And this federal inmate came to me one night. I'm trying to do head count, and this young guy's running his mouth, and he's interfering. And this other federal inmate, he stepped out. He looked at me. He was like, "Officer Dawson, you mean to take care of this?" No, I don't. I really don't want you to take it, because I know what that's going to look like, and I don't want to have to explain a corpse.
Exactly.
But he was offering me a favor.
Yes, he was. And he was probably going to want something back for it.
Bingo.
Later down the road.
Absolutely.
And it goes beyond that, right? You also sometimes have to think outside the walls. Like, a lot of times, you know, you might be in there. And I would tell staff, be careful what you say around inmates. Don't talk about your personal life.
Sure.
Because if you give them ammunition, they're going to pull the trigger.
Oh, absolutely.
So I remember one officer, he was having car troubles, and, you know, the pay wasn't that great, and he had issues. And an inmate heard that. An inmate's like, "Hey, I know a garage where you can go get your car worked on."
Okay.
"And my family owns it."
Okay.
The officer, you know, does. He goes there, and the family's like, "No, Johnny sent you here, and it's on the house." You know, "We repaired the vehicle. Johnny put in a word for you. It's on the house." Nothing is on the house.
That's exactly right, yes.
And I can guarantee you, and it transpired this way. Again, you are being set up.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy took it, and he was happy he didn't have to pay. And then it came to, "Hey, I did you a favor. Now you need to do me one."
Right.
And human nature is, you know, somebody did me a favor.
Sure.
I got to reciprocate in kind.
Right.
And first of all, in a correction setting, no inmate is doing you a favor.
Right. Yeah.
You just have to know that. No inmate is doing you a favor, and just have that mindset that whatever I do, especially if it's against policies and procedures, you know, policies and procedures are written for a reason.
Right.
And there's usually a story behind every policy that's
yes. made. Yes.
And you need to think that. So don't take gratuity from the families. Don't do anything that sets you up to be a pawn in the chess game.
Absolutely.
Right? And again, if something happens or an inmate asks you to do something as simple as always asking yourself, why?
Sure.
Why did this transpire? Why do they want me to do this? Why? And the other thing I'll add to that is, don't take anything personal that happens. Mm. I see a lot of officers who will get in trouble because they took what I've always looked at an inmate in the facility and said, it's their job to get over on me.
Right.
It's their job why they're locked up. It's my job to prevent it from happening.
Right.
And if an inmate does something or something happens, I'm not mad at him.
Right.
He was doing his job. I just happened to be better at my job than he was.
Right, yeah.
And I figured it out. So once you start to take things personally, you start to do stupid things.
Yes.
And you know, coin an old adage, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
Yes, yes.
So
also we had when I was on night shift, we had a guy that he's obviously new officer. And he seemed to be really struggling with controlling his housing unit that he was assigned to. It was obvious, even just watching video footage, not having the audio, you could just see his body language, their body language. The inmates were running the show. I mean, there was no control from the staff point of view. And because of that, he was having issues in that housing unit. And the sergeant, I was a corporal at the time, the sergeant and I pulled him up to the office and we talked to him about, hey, bud, you know, this is what's going on. We showed him the video footage, you know, and he understood what we were saying. I was like, you are not in control. They're in control. Look, if you're going to be successful at this job, you have got to be, you have got to man up. You've got to be in control. You've got to establish, here's the rules, so forth and so on. And, you know, I told him, I said, look, you're not off probation yet. You know, you're going to have to prove to us that you want this job bad enough to do it. Well, Sean, I'll tell you, he went to work and I mean, it was a complete turnaround. I mean, it was like the housing units. You didn't have fights back there. You didn't have codes back there. And from all outside appearances, everything was great. He made the turnaround. I mean, and actually we brought him back up to the office a few weeks later and I probably spent 10 minutes complimenting the guy on the turnaround. And I mean, this is awesome. This is exactly, and he's grinning from ear to ear. He's so proud of himself. We're tickled. Everybody feels like, man, things are good. Things are on good terms. And then we find out, we get a word from an investigator with the sheriff's office that, hey, they're pretty sure there's a cell phone in the facility. And okay. And so we start digging into that and start figuring out. We find out it's an inmate that's in this housing unit that this officer's been assigned to. And so of course we go back there, we tear everything apart looking for it, and we find the charger in one guy's cell. So we know there's a phone there somewhere. So we go to digging around, we find the phone. Well, of course, the inmate's not going to hold that information where he got it from. He squeals instantaneously. Man, Officer so-and-so is the one that gave it to me. And so they pull him up, the officer up. And ironically, he wasn't intelligent. He still had the box and the receipt in the backseat of his car. But anyway, that's beside the point. But in talking to him, what you just said about, you know, talking where inmates could hear, he was having some financial difficulty at home. And he had an inmate that you know, notice he looked down, whatever, asked him, said, hey, bud, well, you know, what's going on? What's got you bothered? You know, struggling with stuff at the house, money, whatever. Well, this inmate basically told him, said, look, I need something. I've got this family emergency that I need to stay in touch with my family. You know, the inmate phones, they don't always work like they're supposed to.
I might be locked down.
That's right. I'm worried about my family. And you understand it's family. It's not I'm up to something. I'm not, I just really care about my family. He said, look, he said, you know, I'll help you out if you can help me out. And basically they paid this man $500 to bring in a cell phone to this inmate. And from the outside perspective, everything was great. Everything was fine until it wasn't. And it really opened my eyes to, as a supervisor, and it, even just as a fellow employee, if I care about you, if we're on the same team, we're family, we're corrections officers, for me to say that I truly care about you, that's more than, dude, Sean's fixing to get his tail whooped. I need to get down there and back him up. I need to be the one paying attention to your demeanor, to your facial expression, to what's going on. I'm the one you need to have that conversation with.
Yep.
So that if there is, you do need help, you get it from the right person, not, ah, he's fine.
Right.
And let the inmate slide into that spot.
Yeah. And I say, you know, a lot of that is really incumbent upon your first line supervisors, you know, the squad sergeants or your teammates.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if somebody sees you having a bad day or if they see there's something wrong, they need to step in and help and talk to somebody and intervene.
Yes.
And deal with it. I've had to terminate staff in the past for bringing, you know, dangerous contraband into the facility. And, you know, sometimes it requires an introspective look.
Sure. You
know, did I let this guy down? Was there right. some way that I right. missed some cues?
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying it was my fault.
Right. You didn't obviously, bring it.
but could I have saved this individual? Was right. there something I could have done? More training.
Yeah.
And one of the things, constantly just, you know, reminding your staff, you have a job to do, but they're not your friends.
Right.
But you're also not a disciplinarian. You're not here to punish people either.
Right.
You're, you know, to put it simply, especially in a jail setting, you're here for care, custody, and control.
Right.
That is your job.
Yes.
Right. And understanding that the inmate has a job to do. You have a job to do, and it's not personal.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, when you start to take things personal or you start to get angry with the inmates, then you start to get yourself in trouble for other reasons.
Yeah.
And or if you're too empathetic, if you're yeah. having other – here's another term I used to always like, firm, fair, and consistent.
Yeah.
You need to be firm. If you're not firm, the inmates are going to constantly cause you problems and other things are going yes. to happen. So you have to be firm, but fair.
Right.
So in other words, you're firm in the way you enforce the rules.
Right.
And the way you deal with the inmate population. And you enforce the rules fairly.
Right.
Amongst everybody in that housing or the inmates you come across. And you're consistent with it.
Yeah.
And that's, I'll be honest with you, my 29 years of working in a detention facility, what inmates want, period. Consistency.
Oh, yes.
They want to know that this officer is going to come to work every day and be that officer every day. If you're a happy-go-lucky officer and you use humor when dealing with the inmates, and then one day you have a bad day at home and you come in and all of a sudden you want to be difficult and you want to be, you know, right. hardcore with the inmates and
yes.
like, who's this guy? And they don't know right. how to react to you.
Yes.
So if I can tell you one thing, just be firm, fair, and consistent across the board.
Yes.
If you had a bad day at home, leave it at home.
Yeah.
Don't bring it into the facility and vice versa. Because that starts happening, they start to see that chink.
Mm-hmm.
And so another aspect to that is don't talk to your wife on the pod phone.
Right.
Don't call your wife and start having arguments
sure.
on the pod.
Sure.
The inmates are listening to you.
Yes.
Don't talk about what school your kids go to. Don't say,
right.
hey, I'm going to go out to the movies tonight, and
yeah.
this is where we're going to go.
Yes.
Somebody is listening to you.
Yes.
And a flip side of that, too, is also other officers. Don't talk about each other around inmates either.
Yeah.
You know, don't get a fellow officer in trouble because you're saying, hey, I know Officer Jones is having problems with his wife and these things are going on. Because the inmates are listening.
Absolutely.
And you just got – inadvertently put a chink in Officer Jones's armor.
Yes.
When he did that.
Yeah.
When you have those discussions. Don't complain about how you hate the job.
Right.
Yes. You know, you come in, you're grumpy, you're mad at the administration. I hate this job. Oh, you hate this job. You know, and they start to dig and they dig. And especially in a long-term correctional setting, they started on you 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and they're starting on you, and they're working you, and that's their whole plan is to get over them. I'll guarantee you, if you're a new officer and you got a set, and there's 50 keys on this ring, I'll guarantee you there's an inmate in that facility that can tell you every lock that key goes to.
Right, yes.
Because they're paying attention. Uh-huh. They're watching you. Uh-huh. And they're constantly looking for that weakness.
Yeah.
That when you pat search them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you all have been there if you've worked in the field a while. You're a new officer. You get in there. You start doing your pat search. You come up into the crotch area. Hey, what are you doing, man? Why are you getting a... Oh, I'm going to make a PREA complaint on you. What they're doing is training you.
Uh-huh.
Not to search the crotch area.
Right.
And why do we ask you to do that? Because that's where they're going to hide something.
Right, yes.
And why are they trying to intimidate you, to scare you not to go that high up into the crotch area?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where they plan on hiding something.
Yes.
So nothing, when dealing with the inmate population, nothing is really done without a reason or a purpose. And if it doesn't make sense, you need to sit back and go, why did this happen?
Yeah.
Again, just always be observant. Keep your personal lives to yourselves, and don't give those inmates an in. Don't give them the ability to use any information against you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, guys. Well, we're at the end of another episode. Again, hope that gave you some food for thought. I'll tell you, the it appears that the longevity in the field, in the culture, has changed somewhat. But if you enjoy this job, you enjoy this career, there's some things you're going to have to pay attention to, and that's the whole point of what we're talking about. We're going to be back next week, something that Sean said, want to dig into a little deeper next week. So we'll continue this conversation. So look forward to seeing you there. Keep in mind, you got any questions, comments, whatever it is, whether it's for me, whether it's for Sean, you can send it to the email, theshakedown@jailtraining.org. If it's for Sean, I'll shoot it on to him, get it to him. But until next time, guys, as always, stay sharp, stay safe, stay vigilant. Godspeed.